lot of red happening on the screen today in the marketplace. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as we broadcast from Husker Harvest Days. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics, and we know this report's coming out on Friday, and it seems, you know, the September report has a lot more weight to it, I think, because we've got some boots on the ground from the USDA just a week or so ago, Mike, looking at those numbers. Is that what we're going to see for these grains moving forward?
Well, you know, it's a tough thing to say, Susan, because we do have a lot of disease pressure right now, and we also have the mix of what's happening in the demand side of the equation, and we have such a split in the demand. Soybean demand is not bad outright, but it's sure taking a beating in terms of prices in the Northern Plains and upper Western Corn Belt, where in parts of North Dakota, at some terminals, you know, you've got 150 under in terms of October bean basis. And even in Nebraska, you're dealing with 90 to almost a dollar over. Here in Atchison and Northeast Kansas, we're at about 80, 85 under right now for October. And so you've got a real separation of the demand picture. And I think what we're seeing right now is a continuation of the 2024 market price action between the August report and the September report. And so if we use that as a template, I think we could say maybe we saw the beans put the low in first after the August report, solidified the overall market. Corn took over. Last Friday was the fourth straight week higher in lead month corn, still September futures, which September goes off the board across all the contracts here on Friday alongside of the WASDE report. But September corn has continued to drive the move to the upside, and I think it's just a key piece of data that would say we still have very razor-thin old crop supplies, and the spread in corn is not wanting to give up yet. This is a market where I think if we are like 2024, I think we are, then in 2024, after the September report, the beans took over again as the leader to the upside and rallied into, I think, around the 26th, 27th of September, and then essentially put a high in all the way for the rest of the November contract of last year. And so what that suggests to me is with the corn leading here, kind of looking tired on Tuesday, not getting any help from the soybeans, even though the soybean price in Brazil is very high, not getting help from the wheat because the ruble is weakening again as the U.S. and Russia look like they're going to probably have an issue with Ukraine in the form of more sanctions. And so it says to me, okay, we probably need to feed the bull on Friday. In other words, take the crop yields by USDA below the average trade guess. And the average trade guess from Bloomberg is 186 on corn, 53.2 on beans. So that's kind of how I see it as we head into Friday.
Do we see any headway making with India at this point, though?
I have been reading several articles from Asia this week. It's funny you bring that up. That behind the scenes, we are working with India again, it sounds like. But in terms of anything concrete and at face value, no. And in fact, it would probably be more likely at this stage that President Trump goes to one of the big meetings in October. I think it's the APEC meeting in October, and maybe then is able to sit down with President Xi from China. And so that's something else that obviously needs to be talked about and monitored. And this goes back to this very wide basis in the soybeans in the Western Corn Belt. Is this a year where, because the basis is so wide already and your futures price is still stuck up around 1040 in November beans, and, you know, we've been able to get even towards, you know, the 1050 level at times on a good solid rally day. If we get up towards 1050, 1060, do you lock in futures for off the combine bushels and then try and play the basis game of locking basis in the next 2 to 3 weeks? I'm hearing in your area and in my area, beans probably not going to be ready till the end of the month in terms of an earnest of bushels coming to the elevator. So that gives us maybe 2 or 3 weeks of being able to potentially lock in a futures premium and then go after a basis that is improving, either because futures is going down or the crop yields aren't there, or we do get something with China and Russia set up that the market takes a hold of.
All right, we got to talk about it. The free fall limit down trade we've seen in this cattle complex today. Mike, what's the driving factor? Why today in this marketplace?
Yeah, it's twofold. And I would say to you, Susan, that it is an ugly looking market as we hit the airwaves on Tuesday afternoon. But as you and I are talking right now, November feeders, which are still quoted at limit down, the pool is only 33 contracts. And so it's not a deep pool. It's not a backup on, you know, I-70 for 2 hours, so to speak, as far as longs wanting to exit and get out and run to the fire exits at this point. So that's a slight piece of good news. But to answer your question, I think we started off late last week after the Labor Day holiday, started to see the funds start to liquidate, and it was more investment flows that was creating a profit-taking mindset. Tuesday looked different, though. And Tuesday, what I mean by that is it didn't look just like profit-taking, but we also took out a channel support in both the daily and weekly charts when it comes to fats and feeders. And that was a trend line channel I didn't want to see taken out, because that's indicative of something more than just investors. And indeed, I saw the Oklahoma City feeder auction show $3 to $4 lower. Not a lot, but it's not red hot like it has been. And we saw box beef give up some premium. Not a lot, but again, it's not red hot either. The thing that I think maybe sealed the deal, because it kind of set up with the news wires and the price action, was that the head of Brazil's beef lobby came out in a conversation, in a news conversation, and said that they're still going to see their exports of beef out of Brazil rise 12% by volume in 2025, even with the U.S. tariffs. That means that that beef's going to go to other areas that maybe we would have gotten some business from. Probably more importantly is that he said to answer a question, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to refrain from commenting on whether Mexico is re-exporting Brazil beef into the U.S. I have seen and talked about this in a special report that I did this past weekend for clients on cattle. I think that's going to happen, that we're going to see beef taken in to Mexico and then re-exported out. I think the feeder cattle that are survived in the screwworm issue will be slaughtered. USDA is talking about that already, and that will turn into beef that comes in the United States as well. And so it is a huge warning flag, because we're up against some major trend lines now in feeders. We don't want to have any more downside. Otherwise, we need to get covered up. And last thing I would say is, I've been asked many times, is this the top or a correction? In 2014, in October, we went from a 235 high down to a 193 low by February of 2015. I am still using 2014, 2015 as my model year because of a similar supply and I think a similar demand picture. That was an 18% correction, Susan. So who cares if it's a top or not? 15% down in November futures at around $350 is over $52. And so it's worth going after, in other words, as far as protection and downside. So we don't need to worry about whether it's a top or a correction. Let's just be prudent about our risk management mindset.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us. A quick note, I'm going to do a quick side promotion of a program we do called Nebraska Ag Live. You can catch that on our Facebook page for American Ag Network and on News Channel Nebraska. And I'm excited because tomorrow's guest just happens to be the one and only Mike Zuzulo. So we'll be diving more into this, I'm sure, as the day continues into tomorrow, and get his thoughts on the markets. And of course, what we're going to see as we get into those combines as well. A quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. I should also mention that program is at 10:30 tomorrow morning. And that is the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.